This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
MashaAllah, you're all tired, eh? You heard too many lectures today. It's Friday, alhamdulillah. No, I know we all have energy and we're good to go for the next few days, inshallah. I will take up less than 20 minutes, inshallah ta'ala, mainly because I know we're falling behind schedule and I have a flight to catch. So I know that I need to get out of here, inshallah ta'ala. Change and gardens of change. When we talk about change in the Qur'an and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us as we, you know, highlight the verse, and it's probably mentioned to you in the schedule or the timetable, the verse of the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He will not change the state or the condition of the people until they themselves change their own state or how they do things and what they're doing, etc. Now, I want to give you an example of poor attempt or a failure at change. A failure at change we notice every single Friday at Jumu'ah. When the imam is up there on the minbar, whether it's Sheikh Allah or Sheikh Abdullah or any imam is up there, and they don't fail, we fail. We're listening, we're the ones that are failing. They're telling us, brothers and sisters, when you're leaving the masjid, make sure that you leave in an orderly fashion. Thank the volunteers that are helping out with parking. Try not to cause a fuss at the entrance. And we see this in every single masjid. I do Jummah khutbahs in various different masajid. And sometimes they tell you, please do a khutbah only on parking. I'm like, what do you mean only on parking? They're like, do a Jummah khutbah only on parking. I'm like, you just take your car, put it between the two lines. And I mean, how is that hard? Everyone got a driver's license. You had to learn to park your car in order to pass the test to get your license. Why is it that as Muslims, it's like we're getting our license out of a Cracker Jack box? Simply because we don't respect each other. And we don't know how to grow as a community. We listen to the imam sometimes telling us, brothers and sisters, when you leave, leave in a nice way. We know that you're late, so we shorten the khutbah. We make it, you know, 20 minutes instead of 30 minutes, or 30 minutes instead of 1 hour. But yet still when we're leaving, and we know that we're all late, we need to get back to work. Sometimes the imam himself has to get back to work. You don't think imams are just leading Jummah and that's the only thing they do. They got to get back to work as well. They know that they're going to be late if everyone else is late as well. But subhanAllah, when we leave the masjid, as soon as the khutbah is over, everyone's like, astaghfirullah, they're running out, they're pushing people, putting their shoes on, you know, rushing to get their car, cutting people off. The person who's telling them, come, you know, come forth, turn this way, you know, they come forth and they just speed off and go the opposite way, and they're like, you know, I don't really care. Where is the change in our community? How do we expect to see change amongst ourselves? And how do we expect Allah to help us and to help the Muslims around the world? We're making dua all the time to Allah. Ya Allah, please help the Muslims in other parts of the world. But you know what? We don't care about parking our cars and how we respect others. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to listen to us and want to help us help others if we can't help our own selves? Obviously not. So my brothers and sisters, that's a failed attempt. A successful attempt I witnessed from this building. 3 days a week, I teach the life session here at the high school, Isna High School. And I gave the high school students a project. I told all of the students, I said, get together, the brothers in your grade, in your class, you get together, the sisters in your class get together. Every single classroom has a group of brothers and a group of sisters. They're all roughly the same age. And I said, I'm traveling for the next, I think it was 3 weeks at the time. I said, when I'm gone for 3 weeks, this is your project. You have to do whatever you want. Anything that you want that will contribute back to society, that will give back to the ummah, that will give back to people, to humanity, to human beings. Do something that will have an impact and make your stamp, your footprint. Remember last year at the convention I spoke about leaving your footprint behind. Leave your footprint behind through this project. And out of, you know, 200 to 300 students, when I came back, And I asked, where's all your projects? No one gave in their projects. And I told him, I said, make a video or document it by writing out what you did and how you contributed towards society, etc. No one did anything except one group of girls in grade 11 from this high school, from this center, this organization, alhamdulillah, one group of girls, less than 10 girls, in grade 11 got together and they decided to raise $1,000. And the day that they started to raise money, they realized that they raised almost double. And they still had people giving them money. So they raised over $2,000. And they came to me and they told me, they said, you know what, we're not finished our project. Can you give us a little bit more time? And they had a proposal. They showed me the proposal. And they said, this is the proposal for our project. We plan on doing all of these things listed here. And it was not one page, it was two pages, I believe, stapled, nice, with a title. They called it the Hope Project. And it was really, really well done. And what they did was they raised over $2,000. And they thought initially they're going to just make 100 food baskets or, you know, life baskets that will help people who are homeless to have simple things like, you know, a few snacks and things that they might need, maybe some socks or, you know, some Tylenol, you know, simple things, Advil and so on. Because they raised more than double than that, the amount they expected, they put together luxury baskets. Like they had double the amount of things or more things in it. And they ended up doing double the amount of baskets. So instead of doing 100, they did 200 baskets. And they went to a homeless shelter, where we won't identify where it is, etc. But they went to a homeless shelter that is packed with people. And they started to give out these baskets, these, you know, packages that they made to each one of them. And they also used a bit of the money to have pizza. And, you know, some drinks and so on for them to enjoy. A nice meal. A meal that's not, you know, here's your oatmeal. Just slop it on there. Here you go. Take your bowl of oatmeal. No, it was nice. Something that they would enjoy. And subhanAllah, you know, when they showed us the video, they made a video. It's like 10 minutes or something. 8 or 9 minutes. They showed us the video in front of all the school and all the staff. Right here in the masjid. When we saw the video, we were all in tears. Because one group of girls did something that made the whole school and the community look good. Not only the community as in ISNA, but the entire Muslim community in this area. All of the people at the shelter felt, wow, the Muslims came and did something for us. A group of Muslim girls. They came and they spent the day with us. And there's men and women that are staying there. And they helped us and they did good things. And the girls were saying that even though we gave them they allocated 3 pieces of pizza for every single person that was there. Now for us, we're like, 3 pieces, man, I could down 4 pieces. That's half a large pizza. I could do that in no time, right? 4 pieces, half a pizza. They gave 3 pieces to each one of them. And when they went up to get the pieces, they're like, no, 1 piece is okay. Give it to someone else. Subhanallah. Give it to someone else. We're giving this to you as a gift. They're like, no, 1 is enough for me. Or 2 is enough. Here, would you like to eat with us? They were telling them, you know, here, take something for yourselves. And that goes to show us how sometimes if we want to make a change, we need to begin. We need to start. And here's a real life example coming right from this center, right from the high school here at ISNA, showing us how girls and how, you know, subhanAllah, we just finished hearing how the majority of our ummah is women. The majority of the people out there, whenever we have conferences and organizations, you know, at organizations, look at this. The amount of seats for brothers and sisters, roughly about the same. But we know very well that the brothers are going to be tossed up to the front tomorrow because the whole place is going to be packed with sisters. And we know very well that there's always a majority of sisters that are coming to our events. And that's because, alhamdulillah, we allow it here. But I've been to countries on earth where you go to the masjid and you see a sign outside that says, women are forbidden from entering this masjid. I have pictures of it. I've taken pictures of it because I couldn't believe it. Women are not allowed. No ladies section. Men only. And subhanAllah, in one of those countries, I was lecturing and I was there teaching, and there's one sister, and I was talking about women and empowering women and how women need to, you know, be a part of society and contribute greatly. There was one sister, a mother, who raised her hand. She says, "I have something to tell you." She says, "Our local masjid," and I've been to that masjid in that country. It's not here, it was very far away, don't worry, right? In another part of the world. She tells me, she says, "Our local masjid, a massive masjid. You go to this masjid, you're like, mashallah, beautiful carpet, soft, beautiful, lots of space, you know, decoration, painted nicely, air conditioning, fans, beautiful." And it's a country that, you know, you would think air conditioning they can't afford. Beautiful, beautiful masjid. She says, "I would go to that masjid as a single mother with my 5 children, and I would walk them there in the evening, and I would sit on the steps of the masjid every single day." She said she would go 4 or 5 days a week. She would sit on the steps of that masjid every single day that she would take her children there, and her children would go inside to memorize Quran. In 12 years, her 5 children memorized the entire Quran. But she said, "In 12 years, I never stepped foot inside the masjid." 12 years. 12 years. Sitting on the steps of the masjid. But you contribute to raising, a single mother contributes to raising 5 huffaz and current imams of masajid. 5 individuals. Who now lead the ummah, who teach people the deen, who went on to further their studies, and also did, you know, other studies in other fields, not Islamic, in, you know, not in the Islamic realm, other types of studies. And that's an example of successful change coming from a single person. A single person. You know, earlier today, and I didn't want to mention it because I know my wife's here and I know the community knows me, but earlier today, subhanAllah, I'm sitting in my office at home, and my walls are covered in bookshelves. And I'm preparing my Jummah khutbah. And my wife comes in, and I'm just, you know, sitting there jotting down some notes. And my wife comes in, and she takes something off one of the shelves and goes out. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. What did you take? You know, I don't like when someone takes things and I don't know what it is, because if someone takes it and I know what it is and they don't return it, I will go and get it myself. So I'm like, wait a second, what did you take? She's like, "Excuse me, I need permission to take stuff from your office. I took a book," and she's like, "It belongs to me. And by the way, I bought all of these books too." And she's right. When I was a student in Medina, my wife used to work, and she would send me money every year during the book fair, and she bought at least about 90% of the books that I own, my wife purchased for me. And subhanAllah, I was telling her this afternoon that, you know, after Jummah, I said, "You know, when I go and I teach, and you let me leave and fly places and teach, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the reward as well, because you contributed towards purchasing all of these books that I read and study so that I can go and teach people around the world." And that's another example of how we can be an individual who does something so simple but contributes towards change across the globe. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there should be from amongst us a group of people that call towards goodness. Now the question for you and I is, am I part of that group? Am I doing something good? Am I contributing towards society? And if not, how can I start? Where can I start? What should I start with? And you ask yourself, subhanAllah, what am I capable of doing? Can I fund another student that is studying? Can I help another family that is struggling? Can I gather some of my friends to do something like the grade 11 girls did here at ISNA High? What can I do? And subhanAllah, when we think of it, unity as the community shows strength. You know, when those group of girls went to the homeless shelter and they gave them some food and the whole community looked good because they did that? I want you to think of the strength of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ goes from Mecca with goes for Umrah to Mecca with the Sahaba, and they're performing tawaf around the Kaaba, right? They're performing tawaf around the Kaaba. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were people who sometimes didn't even have food. But in order to show their strength, what did the Prophet ﷺ tell them to do? Take off half of your ihram as the men and throw it under your arm and chuck it over your shoulder. Why? Why did he tell them to do that? To show off your bicep. To show off your bicep. To show we as Muslims were strong. And then he tells them in the first few rounds, hey, let's go. Everyone, when we're walking around the Kaaba, let's go. We can't just walk around, you know, nice and slow. You're giving me a time up? 5 minutes? I know 5 minutes. Don't worry, I got a flight to catch. Right? So they're going around the Kaaba and he tells them, jog in the first few rounds. Jog a little bit in your place, just like this, you know? Why? Your biceps are showing, you're moving your arms like this. It's showing strength. And all of the Sahaba are there going, ya Rasulullah, we made this journey. We're hungry, we're tired, it's hot. We're in front of, you know, the Kaaba. And people are watching us, they're ready to attack us. He's like, don't worry, show your strength. In what? In your measly arms, but you're showing it. And from a distance, they see, whoa, look at those Muslims. Look at their strength. They're so strong. They made this journey and they're showing off their muscles and they're running. They're still full of energy. These people are strong. And that shows unity in our community. A simple thing. A simple thing the Prophet ﷺ tells them to do. And so my brothers and sisters, it's time that we unite and show strength as well. We have to unite. We have to unite in our communities. If you don't know what to do, begin by bridging the gap between your masjid or your community or your household with another household. Or your masjid with another masjid. Or your organization with another organization. Bridge those gaps. We need to show strength in our communities here. And it begins with one person doing it with their family. Another family getting another family together. Multiple families getting their community together. That community comes together with another community. And then all across Canada, we see unity, insha'Allah ta'ala. And the month of Ramadan is at our footsteps. It's right in front of us, knocking on our door. We see that the month of Ramadan is right in front of us. Ramadan is a month where we are supposed to plan for the next 11 months of the year. It's not a month where we, you know, we're stagnant in our ibadah, and Ramadan comes and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm, you know, Iron Man Muslim who's reciting the entire Quran every single week and standing in Taraweeh and fasting 18 hours a day and paying zakah and giving sadaqah as well and helping in all the masajid fundraisers because it's the month of money, month of mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to give money. I mean, He's merciful upon me. And subhanAllah, we're always, you know, plugging that, giving it. But subhanAllah, where are we after Ramadan? So this month of Ramadan, make it a month where you establish yourself to be consistent and constant throughout the year in trying to unite yourself with your community and your community with other communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a deeper understanding of the verses of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to learn this deen, to spread it and to teach it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite all of us so that we are strong together. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and grant us the highest level of Jannah. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.